The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Let's move out to the wider world, and Israel hit Lebanon with its heaviest strikes yet yesterday, drawing a threat of retaliation from Iran. Volatility remains high in the region despite the two-week ceasefire that was agreed a little over 24 hours ago. Here is what the US Vice President J.D. Vance had to say overnight.
I sat on the phone a lot. I answered a lot of phone calls. I made a lot of phone calls. And again, I'm happy about where we are. I think the president has struck a good deal for the American people, but fundamentally, the Iranians have got to take the next step, or the president has a lot of options to go back to the war. The United States has certain demands and certain things that we want. The Iranians have things they can get out of the negotiation. The more that they're willing to give us, I think the more they're going to get things out of this negotiation. The president's talked about sanctions relief. The president's talked about economic partnerships and things like that. That's not going to happen unless the Iranians make a firm commitment to stop anything close to the development of a nuclear weapon. And frankly, the president has all the cards here. We've got a lot of leverage. We've got a lot of things that we can do.
Rania Abouzeid, who's a Lebanese journalist and author, joins us now, firstly, from Beirut. Rania, thank you for being with us. I mentioned there that Israel hit Lebanon with its heaviest strikes yet yesterday. Can you tell us what has happened?
Yes, thank you for having me. So yesterday, during the afternoon rush hour, the Lebanese were shocked by these more than 100 simultaneous strikes within the span of about 10 minutes. It was difficult to tell, you know, what was blowing up where, because everything seemed to be blowing up. So it was very, and the strikes were in very busy, crowded residential areas. And they were across the city of Beirut, and they were also in other parts of the country too. So the death toll is about 254 at the moment, with more than 1,000 wounded. But the rescue operations continue because a number of residential buildings collapsed due to the force of the blast. So those efforts are continuing today to try and retrieve people from under the rubble. The state has declared tomorrow a national day of mourning, because of the immense scale of this devastating attack yesterday by the Israelis.
And the EU's Kaya Kallas in the last few minutes has said that the ceasefire agreed between the United States and Iran should include Lebanon. Clearly, I mean, it became very apparent very quickly that Israel did not consider itself part of that agreement. Is there any movement on that?
Well, the Pakistani Prime Minister who mediated the deal clearly stated in writing, he tweeted it on X for the whole world to see, that it included all of the fronts. And that was a key Iranian condition, that the ceasefire not just be between Iran and Israel and America, but that it included the other fronts, Lebanon, Yemen, which came into the war as well, Iraq. There were some Iraqi militias that were involved as well. The Pakistani Prime Minister specifically pointed out Lebanon in his text. So it's unclear why there was any confusion. Yesterday, very early in the morning, the Israeli Prime Minister's office also put out a message stating that Lebanon was not excluded, was not included, that it was excluded from this deal, but that just seemed to be Israel's view. It was subsequently supported by Donald Trump that night after the simultaneous strikes on Lebanon yesterday. But over here in Beirut, people are wondering why there was any confusion if the Pakistanis said that Lebanon was included and the Iranians insisted that Lebanon was included. So why is there a discussion now about Lebanon's inclusion or not?
Rania, thank you very much for joining us from Beirut. I want to go to Sally Lockwood now, journalist and presenter. Sally, thank you for joining us again. And you have been reporting on this from the Gulf over the last number of weeks. And the question everybody is asking this morning is, will this decision by Israel to continue attacking Lebanon blow the deal out of the water? It's a bit of a mess, or so it would seem.
Yeah, it's such a mess. I mean, as Rania was just describing so well there, you know, both sides not only couldn't be further apart in terms of what they're wanting out of this ceasefire, but it seems that they can't even agree on the points that have been agreed and what the ceasefire includes. You know, J.D. Vance coming out and saying, oh, you know, it's a misunderstanding, Lebanon was never included, when Pakistan's prime minister said you know, emphatically, and Pakistan has been key in mediating all of this and making this happen. They said emphatically, Lebanon is part of this ceasefire agreement, and this ceasefire begins everywhere immediately. And, you know, yesterday, hours after this ceasefire was supposed to take hold here in the UAE, it seemed that the only party that had ceased fire was the US, because Israel was hammering Lebanon and Iran was still attacking Gulf states. You know, we had more than 50 missiles and drones fired at the UAE from Iran yesterday, well after that ceasefire started. Saudi Arabia had a major oil pipeline hit. They have a pipeline that runs east-west from their oil fields in the east out to the Red Sea, allowing them to still export a huge amount of their oil at the moment and bypass the Strait of Hormuz. But that pipeline was hit yesterday by a drone attack. And then in Kuwait, they reported that a power plant and a water desalination plant were hit there. So from where we were sitting, this did not look like a ceasefire to us. The big question was whether Iran was deliberately violating this ceasefire because of the situation in Lebanon, potentially, or whether this is just a messy start to a ceasefire, as so often happens. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, Iran operates in a very decentralized way, including within the military. And is this just a consequence of poor communication, or maybe even a lack of cohesion that some parties within the IRGC or the Iranian military are just simply choosing to ignore the ceasefire? We don't know yet.
And Sally, when it comes to the strait, we've had claims that it's open, counterclaims that it's closed. We're also hearing that it'll cost millions to get one tanker through. What is the truth of it this morning? Do we know?
Well, marine tracking data has reported that five bulk carriers passed safely in the Strait of Hormuz yesterday. They all traveled from Iranian ports. None of them were carrying oil or gas. They were carrying, I don't know, cargo, dry goods. We don't know what was on them, but they were not oil or gas tankers. And there were no inbound crossings. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that was the lowest number of crossings so far this month. So regardless of what the White House is saying or what the Iranian regime is promising, those figures tell you that the Strait of Hormuz is not open. And in fact, you know, the Iranian regime came out yesterday and said, given the situation in Lebanon, that we have that you are not honoring the ceasefire there, then we are closing the Strait of Hormuz. And now we know that this is not a physical blockade, but Iran has control of this critical choke point for the world's energy, and they are using this really powerful card. And, you know, what they've managed to do now is essentially say, okay, no tankers are going through as we agreed under the terms of the ceasefire. And we're essentially holding the world to ransom when it comes to the flow of energy. And not only that, even under the terms of this very fragile, very shaky ceasefire, it seems that America was okay with the fact that these tankers would be allowed to pass safely, but it would all be controlled by the Iranian military. And they've established this system of tolls being paid now in the last 5.5 weeks of war, which is absolutely outrageous because it completely goes against international law when it comes to the laws of international shipping. Gulf states, I know, are not happy about it, will not allow this to be the situation long term. But it seems that, you know, this has kind of been normalized under this very shaky ceasefire agreement with America. So you've got Iran essentially not only holding the world to ransom by controlling the Strait of Hormuz, but they're also now potentially going to benefit in billions of dollars of revenue because some of these tankers are paying up to $2 million to pass safely.
It's extraordinary. And further evidence, you know, that supports the theory that the Americans were desperate for an off-ramp here. Sally, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for being with us. That is Sally Lockwood. Still to come.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.